Welcome to the Lifecast. We hope that you find this ministry of New Life Assembly of God as an encouragement to you. You will hear messages and lessons in God's Word by our staff and special guests. Enjoy the podcast. I want to remind us of a few things just as we start out looking at the Scripture. I want to remind us, you know, not just where we're at, but what we believe. We believe in God, in His Son, Jesus. We believe in His Holy Spirit, and that His Holy Spirit was sent to continue to work in us and to draw us and to draw people. God's just not out there somewhere. It's that He sent His Spirit to work in us and to do in us that which is right and that which is good and that which is pleasing, and that, you know what, as He does that, we come into agreement and we discover in kind of casual terms, you know what, this is a good time. Living life like this is right, it's good. And there's this peace and this joy that comes. We believe in God that He does a supernatural work. In other words, He can do things that are outside of what you and I can do with all the physical stuff that we operate under and with every day. God bless you, Linda. God touch you. That He can do things beyond what we can do. That we believe that He can still do miracles. I mean, turn to the person next to you and say, God still does miracles. You're here. Right? I mean, there are many of you in this place that thought, you know what? I ain't ever going to get in church. Not for me. And there are people who know you who believed that you probably would never be in church. But you know what? There's a work of God, and by His Spirit, that He can do things beyond the natural. He is supernatural. The Bible says that God is Spirit. And we come together in this room and we worship Him and we sing to Him. And during the week, you read His Word and you talk with Him. And you know, you do your best to listen to Him, and God's speaking to you. Listen. God is very much involved. He still does great things. We believe in His Spirit to change us, and we believe in the gifts of His Spirit, which are, it is also a supernatural thing that He displays for our encouragement and our benefit. These things are listed in the Scripture, and I'm not going to take time to go through all of those gifts and go all through all the fruits, but you know, if we believe in the Holy Spirit bearing in us the fruits, understand that our change and the fruit of the Spirit be evident in our life, the character of God, that is a work of the Spirit. It is a work of the Spirit. It was not sheer determination on your part. You can't take credit for it. I can't take credit for it. If there is any good thing in me, it is because of God. That's what we should be saying. Not just saying, but that's what we should believe. And if we believe the supernatural work of God to transform a person and change a person, how can we not believe in the supernatural gifts of the Holy Spirit? Or is it that we proclaim the fruits of the Spirit when we think we really did it ourselves? It has been a work of His Spirit. Paul writes something interesting. I mean, he wrote a lot of things interesting. One thing I found interesting is he wrote it in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and I might paraphrase this a little bit. Verse 13, he says, if you find us beside ourselves, understand it is unto God. But if you find us in our right mind, at least according to your expectations, then it is done unto you and for your benefit or for your sake. The phrase that he's, the principle of what he's saying is that, you know, there are some things that are supposed to happen in our life that are going to be different, and that we should have gone through some change when we have come into faith in Jesus Christ. That there is some change that is going to manifest in our life, and it may not make sense to everybody around us or to the world from the world's perspective. And they might think they are beside themselves, or they are not themselves, or they are out of their mind. And Paul says, you know, if you find us beside ourselves, it is unto the Lord. If you find us in our right mind, basically the context is, in other words, if you think that we're acceptable to you because of your expectations, then that's been done because of your for your benefit or for your sake. But if you find us out of our mind or beside ourselves, it is unto the Lord. We can say at that scripture, you know, yea and amen, and we've come into contact with Christ and we should be different. But, you know, I wonder how that plays out in our life every day. I wonder if we really look different to the world. I wonder if sometimes when we have put our faith in Christ, that maybe we did it years ago, I wonder if we're really handling the frustrations and the things we go through in this life any different than we did before we were saved. Not because of the lack of God's power or his inability, but maybe just, you know, talk to God, pray to God, believe in God, worship him that way. But after those moments of my day are over, I'm still very active being me. Ephesians chapter 5. I'm just going to pick out one verse here, and you can put it into context and read this, you know, at your pleasure and leisure. But verse 18 says this: and do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery. A debauchery is kind of a big word. It just means an excessive indulgence of sensual, inappropriate pleasures, lack of discipline or moderation. He says, don't get drunk on wine, for it leads to debauchery or ruin. But be filled with the Spirit. The context, and we're in this context, we'll put it in maybe terms that we understand, that we relate to in our culture, because it doesn't really change the principle. But when someone is operating a vehicle and they are drunk or inebriated, buzzed, they get pulled over and they get served with what? Louder. A ticket. What's the offense? What's it called? DWI, DUI. I remember when it was DWI. Maybe that still exists, but somewhere along the lame way it became DUI. Which DUI stands for what? Driving under the influence. Under the influence of, I don't know, booze or some substance. Driving under the influence. In other words, listen, don't get drunk on wine. Don't get under the influence of alcohol. And this is not a drinking message. So if you're here and, you know, don't start thinking, oh, gee, and everybody's looking at me. And No. It's not about drinking or don't drink. We're going to look at a principle here. Because it's not just what we're not supposed to do. It's what we are supposed to be doing. And many times Christians get focused on what we're not supposed to do. rather than being busy doing what we are supposed to do, so that there isn't time for sitting idle fighting what we're not supposed to do. Let's be about the kingdom business. Don't get drunk on wine or get under the influence of alcohol, but rather be filled or be under the influence, because you have to understand the context of what he's talking about. It's not like one moment he's picking on something like, hey, don't drink. By the way, be filled with the Spirit. No. He's having, it's a continuous thought here. Don't be drunk on wine, but rather be drunk in the Spirit. Now, there's no phrases in the Scripture and it talks about being drunk in the Spirit, and it makes people uncomfortable, especially in our culture, and they get real upset about it because, you know, maybe where they came from, or they think it's some big insult to God to look at it this way. And basically what they're saying is, I want to be saved, but don't ask me to leave my, you know, let God do what he wants with me. I just want to worship him this way, and I just want, this is holy. And so they explain away things like this for their own convenience, for their own comfort, so they don't have to be moved. I shall not be moved. The context is, don't be under the influence of alcohol, but in its similarity, be under the influence of the Spirit. That doesn't mean act stupid. It means be under the influence of God. And actually the word that says there, that says be filled with the Spirit, if you looked at what it means actually in that verse, it means this: to cram. You know what it is to cram something? I'll tell you what, I got a little pet peeve. Now, I don't blow a gasket over this, and I don't lecture anybody in my house about it. I just do it when nobody's looking, okay? Because I hate, and I am not, I'm not cheap. I'm not a cheap person. That's, you know, that's not who I am. It doesn't mean that things have to be excessive. I just generally am not cheap in my attitude and resources and things like that. Just don't tend to be cheap or stingy. But I do hate to buy things just to throw them away.
Amen.
And yet every one of us in this room does that. It's called garbage bags. You buy them to throw them away. It really irks me. I'll tell you when it really got me torqued off. It was when I lived in Hibbing, Minnesota. They had this thing when you lived in town. It was called the blue bag system. You had to put your garbage in a specially purchased blue bag. Jake, you live there. You know about this. Marlene, JW, do you have to do that out there on First Avenue? You were still in town, right? Blue bag. It was a, listen, Chris, it was a blue bag, and it had some printing on it in different shade of blue, and you had to buy these at the store. You had to put your garbage in there unless you had, you purchased a dumpster. Or if you live outside of town, you could get away with some different rules. But when they come through and pick up your garbage, it had to be in the blue bag, or they would not take it. Now, these blue bags were more expensive than your Glad garbage bag or whatever brand you use. Okay? And by the way, I know you can, oh, you get the bag free at Walmart. You just save up the Walmart bags. Listen, I am not trucking 250 trips a week from my house to the curb to carry small little bags. Sorry. It was a blue bag. And this is where I began to learn what be filled means. Because they were more expensive. And the less bags we would go through, the more I could cram in one. Reaper. It was push down, kind of like, yeah, don't tie that up yet. But it's overflowing. Ah! I'll take care of it. Cram. Push. And I learned the art of this that when I got, you know, when I was first starting out of this wonderful craft of mine of cramming, it was, oops, did you ever cram something into a bag inside a garbage can and you can't get the bag out? Slow learner. Because you can't get the, then you're ripping the bag and the handles are coming off and now you're digging in there, filling a bag outside the, yeah, it's, you're all laughing because you've seen your wife do it. Ah, the art of cramming, be filled. I mean, it's, you know, you're like putting on a boot. Foot's in the bag and you're pulling just before it tears. And cram means this, that when you finally get it tied at the very ends, there's no extra bunny ears looped. I mean, it is, the top is, you can, they can see what you've been using. In the top. The top is not closed. It's tied. Cram is when you carry it out and you do it gently and set it down gently. Because if you drop it or even flick it, right where you do that or where you drop it, it blows out. And it looks like an animal got into it. It's one of those. This is the idea. Be crammed with the Holy Spirit in our life. Don't be under the influence of alcohol or it leads to debauchery or excessive sensual pleasure. Okay, God has given us senses and there are sensual pleasures that He has bestowed us with that we are to fully enjoy. Okay? Certain things, he says, hey, in moderation. But he is saying, do not be under the influence, but rather be under the influence of the Holy Spirit. Be crammed full so that when things in life come along and they press you, they bump you, they kick you, somebody drops you, whatever it is, it's what you. And if you are crammed full, you will burst open and He will come out of you. Instead of blowing a gasket at the person on the other side of the counter of customer service because you didn't get service. And now you become an embarrassment to the kingdom and His name. And you think, well, they don't know I'm a Christian. Listen, I'm telling you that I am beginning to receive the benefits of living in a community now for just over 6 years. More and more people know who I am, who I have no idea who they are, or that they even know who I am. And it reminds us that, hey, rather than this being a moment where I can blow a gasket, this is a moment to represent His name. And I don't need to jump over the customer service counter and pummel somebody. That we are crammed full, we are filled with the Holy Spirit, being under His influence. When we talk about it in that context, listen, this church should be filled with people who need to get drunk in the Holy Ghost. I'm not talking about that you have to stagger out of here and slur your speech. I'm not talking about acting stupid in the context of being drunk on alcohol. We're talking about being filled, being drunk, being under the influence, being crammed with the character and the virtue and the power and His Spirit in us. I'll tell you what concerns me about my own life, and in a general observation that can happen to church people, people who have been walking with God for years, is we get to a point where we are so sober, so staunch, we call it holiness, we become critical, we forget about the speck in our own eye. And when we look at it in reality, we proclaim faith in God. We do talk to Him. We do read His Word. We tithe. We give. We do these things. But the actual person that we are to be with us, there is like there has been no change from when we were converted. Oh, you may not smoke or drink or do whatever it is that you do that you have, you know, you've been convicted about or rules about or whatever it is. But to actually be with you, the person, I'm not talking about your conduct or where you hung out compared to where you hang out now. Those things can change. But to actually be with you, it's like you're the same person you were before you were saved. Still getting mad. Still sinning in your anger. Still misusing words. Still mistreating people. That's not crammed. There's slack in the bag. And I take those bags out, or sometimes I come home and I see that bag, and it's not crammed. I'll tell you how obsessed I am with this, man. I will take garbage out of the vehicles, and I will tear a hole. I can't undo the knot, because I've tried that. It just takes too long, and it's too tight with the I tear a hole. And I will shove garbage through the hole in the garbage bag that is meant for the curb. I know, you think I've got a problem. It's where I learned this message from God. Be filled, be crammed. Now don't start driving by my house thinking, oh, Pastor did that bag. Oh, Sue did that one. You can tell the difference. We are supposed to be chock full, crammed with Him. And for some, we've got a measure of God, we call it good enough, but to be with you is just like being with you before you were converted, as far as being with the person. No change. No transformation. You just think if I stop going there and I go to new places and I don't do that and I do this instead, or maybe I just don't do a whole lot of that, but I don't do anything really. And we think that that's holy and that's good. And listen, Jesus, in the scripture, Old Testament, New, I mean, Jesus, it was about living water. Paul says, listen, the kingdom of God, it's not about food and drink. It's about righteousness. It's about peace. It's about joy in the Holy Ghost. Well, I know that joy in God and the joy of God is not always this, we got this smile and we're always laughing and like we don't care. You get this idea that joy is doesn't care. Joy is about holding fast to God even in the middle of dark hours. Listen, if we always need to be crammed, filled with God, but man, in the dark hours, we really need to be crammed with Him. That in the moments where we could complain, we praise instead, because that's what's in us. No slack in the bag. No room for me. No room for complaint. No room for criticism. No room for negativity and anti-faith talk. But rather words of faith and words of hope, words of encouragement, words of instruction that bring life. We can get so unfriendly. It's like no transformation took place. Don't put out the Spirit's fire. It says it in Thessalonians. Don't put out the Spirit's fire. It says don't quench the Spirit. Rather be filled with the Spirit. In other words, don't kill the joy of the Spirit. Don't kill the joy of the Spirit. Listen, I'm a man. I don't get everything right. That's for sure. And I know there's things I do that just, they drive my wife around the bend. They do. I know that. And I don't always purposely drive her around the bend once in a while. Every once in a while, fun to push a button. As long as it's not demeaning and destructive, every once in a while, But I'll tell you, I know what drives her around the bend. Because my wife, she has a sense of humor. Don't get me wrong. She's got a sense of humor. And she can laugh. But my wife tends to be a pretty serious person. At least in comparison to the guy she married. And not that I don't have down moments or, tempted with the, I got to get the bag crammed, filled with God because a little bit of me happening here. But I know, she can sit, the two of us can be in the vehicle, I'll say something, and I just laughing. Now, the really crazy part is when no one's there, I do this. There's moments where I think, quick, where's your cell phone? Just hold it up to your ear like you're talking to somebody. Because people driving by are going to think, okay, this guy's on his way to the hospital. I do. I laugh out loud. I'll laugh at something so funny to me. Because, I'm funny. I like to laugh. Simple things, dumb things. And my wife will be sitting there next to me, because she's had 25 years of this, this November. She's sitting next to me, and she's just going, looking out the windshield, and I can tell by her look, she's hoping she gets a text message or a phone call or something. And I'm just, get your hands on the steering wheel. And I'm just having a good time. Listen. That brings life. It doesn't mean you ignore what's bad. It just means we've got to be filled and crammed with Him. That there is something in us that is living water, that brings hope and encouragement and fuels faith and gets us out of the schmuck. Tell you some words to my ears that make me grateful to God. And I don't always hear this from everybody, obviously. And I just use myself as an example because I just don't want to pick on people and I don't always know what goes on in other people's lives. But I love when people leave my office and they come in kind of troubled and they leave, or we go to breakfast or we go for coffee or whatever it is, and when they leave, they just get a little different outlook. And they just feel a little bit better than when they came. It lets me know that God was with us when we were together. That God was with us. It's not Randy. It was that God was with us. He was among us. He helped us. Listen, when pressures and stress and darkness comes in and, you know, creeps in just because we live in this life, or whether it's a personal attack. Listen, I feel those moments. There are moments that, you know, I'll walk in my office or walk into my bedroom at home and close the door, and it's like, and this stuff just starts, and it's like, whoa, wait a minute. We got to arrest ourselves. Say, whoa, wait a minute. All of that is what I'm facing. But I got to get filled with you. And I will drop to my knees. And I will say, God, I don't get it all, but I know you're faithful. And I'm just going to praise you. And when I don't know what to praise and how to pray, I begin to speak in the language that he has given me according to the scripture. And you know what? Just take time and do that. And I'll get up. And there's moments where I get up, promise you, moments I get up, and I am back down within 5 seconds because it's like, you know what? That wasn't quite enough. Not quite full.
That's right.
Not quite crammed. Little bit more. And he helps. Because when we are bumped through the day and flicked and dropped and stuff comes out, and you know what? This context of don't be drunk but be filled, it is to cram. It is also, in its language, set as a continual thing. In other words, continually be filled. Don't get the idea that, hey, I drank once of the living water, I'm good. I'm saved, I'm good. I'm kind of doing the Christian thing, I'm good. We need to be crammed. We ask for a move of God. We want him to do extraordinary things among us. We want him to do miracles. But you know what? We need to allow God to work by his Spirit in our life, that we can taste it there and see it there and know it there, instead of just being a spectator when somebody receives their healing over here or over there, or we get to see it. We're a spectator rather than experiencing it personally here in our own life, being filled with the Spirit, being under the influence of God, to know what it is to be drunk in the Holy Ghost, or crammed full under his influence. You can be by yourself, making your motorcycle louder, out in the garage. Now, I've not been there, so I don't know what you're like, and I didn't hear any stories, so don't read this, but this guy's got a sweet bike. Ooh. And you can hear him coming all the way from Angelo. Kind of out that way. He made it louder. When we're alone and we're turning wrenches or whatever we do, and something's not quite fitting or working right, never really benefits you to throw the wrench across the garage. To your flesh, it might feel really good. But you know what? You got to go over and get the wrench and then repair the window it went through. What's the point? God sees us in the private hours, too. It's not just when we have an audience. It's who we are as a person. Are we filled with him that we can be like him? Are we personal enough and know him well enough? And are we submitted to him enough? And are we open to him enough to allow him to come into our life and take up all the slack so that it's taut and there's just enough to tie it at the top and then to tear a little hole in the side, because you can always fit just a little bit more. Don't be under the influence of yourself or the things of this world. But rather, be under the influence of the Holy Spirit.
Thanks for joining us on the Lifecast. It is a ministry of New Life Assembly of God in Sparta, Wisconsin. If you are ever in the area, we would enjoy the opportunity of meeting you. Until then, remember, God is for you, not against you.